This past year, some of you, perhaps like me, continually received pop-up messages on your computer letting you know that you could upgrade your computer to Windows 10 for free. Oftentimes, free is an enticing incentive to do something. In this case, however, it took a deadline to truly coerce most people to finally upgrade to Windows 10. Like previouses on our smartphones, once an upgrade happens, part of becoming accustomed to a new operating system is discovering default settings. A default setting is something that's programmed into a computer to make it do the same thing all the time. For example, if you're wanting to write a letter or a paper, the program default might be to set the margins of the page at so many inches, to double space the lines, and to have a chosen type font that is always the same. Most people don't like pre-programmed default settings. They find that they don't meet their needs or preferences, so it is necessary then to find that magic screen where one can actually change from the default setting that is pre-programmed to a new default setting that is in line with one's individual purposes and preferences. Of course, one can temporarily change settings, but that's merely a temporary fix. The next time you try to create a document or do something else, the computer always reverts to the default settings. When one takes this approach, there's always the frustration of repeatedly having to correct the default rather than living with a new, more compatible default. Our scripture readings today reveal something about our human default system. Our human default system is something that has been programmed into us. So even if we deviate from it temporarily, we often revert to it because a systemic change has not been made, only a temporary one. One human default ingrained into us and in our society is the value of reciprocity. That was certainly the case for me when I was growing up. If a girlfriend invited me to stay overnight at her house, I was obliged to reciprocate by inviting her to stay overnight at my house. So it is that I learned reciprocity at an early age. Anytime we do something for someone else, primarily or solely because they have done it for us, we are reciprocating. We are paying them back. Jesus, however, points us to a better way. Jesus points us to the way of paying it forward. I don't think there is just one word in the English language that encapsulates paying it forward in the same way that paying it back is encapsulated by the word reciprocating. Maybe that tells us something about our society and how we're programmed. Now, paying friends and family back with kindness for a previous kindness is not always a bad thing. It becomes bad when our only or primary motivation for doing it is reciprocity. If this is the case, we are not doing something out of care, compassion, or for the joy of it. Rather, we are doing it as a socially contractual obligation. There's not much fun or joy in that. Another default we have as humans is seeking or desiring. Proverbs and our gospel reading focus on this default. In the gospel reading, Jesus is invited to dinner and he observes how the guests are jockeying for a position, seeking out places of honor. The bad news for those people and the bad news for us when we demonstrate similar behavior is that our very desire to be a person of importance reveals how unimportant we are in relation to someone else whose importance is not self-determined, but is a gift which is bestowed. By seeking honor, by exalting ourselves, by assuming an attitude of arrogance, by thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, which is my definition of haughty, we place ourselves above others. We create hierarchical systems in which some people are more important than other people, and sooner or later, we want to be the important people. Or worse, we don't even realize that we are at the top of the hierarchy and others are below us. We might even be oblivious to our position of privilege. This summer at confirmation camp, there was a young woman in our group, participated in our small group, who had a serious genetic disease which had caused blindness in her to become blind. And it made all of us so keenly aware of the privilege of seeing and made us aware for just a glimpse of what it would be like to even walk from the lodge up to the outdoor chapel, which is up the hill, over tree roots, over all kinds of things that are in the way without being able to see them. So it was, this young woman was a great witness to us, and we were grateful to have that experience. God is about the work of turning that which we create upside down. God is about reversing what we put into play, casting down the mighty from thrones of their own making and lifting up the lowly. Thus, the default that God desires for us is humility. Humility versus thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, being haughty, is the default to which God would have us aspire. Although it is very important to note that humility should never be equated with low self-esteem, nor should humility be equated with the victimizing humiliation perpetrated by those who seek power over others. Rather, the humbling that God seeks for us and would have us hope and encourage for others is a state of being to help us achieve our potential. It is not to diminish us, to cause us to think more lowly of ourselves than we ought. In his commentary on this passage, Pastor Brian Stoffergen uses the terms superhuman and subhuman to describe the two extremes of haughtiness and victimizing humiliation. In a hierarchical system, those at the top suffer from thinking of themselves as superhuman, and those at the bottom suffer from thinking of themselves as subhuman, sometimes even loathing themselves because of it. By exalting the lowly and humbling the exalted, God is in the business of flattening hierarchies. God is reminding us that we are all equally loved and equally valuable wherever we are on the scale of haughtiness and humility. God turns things upside down in order to reposition us for that which is life-giving for us and for others. In God's gracious invitation is a call not to be a role model in the sense of our own goodness and status, but rather to be a model of faith. Which this is what the writer of Hebrews encourages in today's reading from that book of the Bible. God's people in that scripture are encouraged to remember their leaders and imitate their faith. They are not called to imitate the leaders, but to imitate their faith, a very important distinction. Finally, perhaps the one who best captures the vision of God's default for us is hymn writer Marty Haugen. In his hymn, Gather Us In, that we sung as our opening song this morning, he reminds us that God gathers us all, the lost and forsaken, the blind and the lame, the rich and the haughty, the proud and the strong. Having been gathered, we pray that God will call to us now and we shall awaken, that God will give us a heart so meek and so lowly, give us the courage to enter the song, nourish us well, and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. So it is that each Sunday we come to the banquet God has prepared for us here at this table. It is here that God fashions us to the default that makes our lives and our world new, that provides hope and healing, which is gradually turning our world around. Thanks be to God. Amen.